Hello and welcome to the Cafe Hustle podcast with me, Andy Jones. Today we're talking to René Blanchard of the Church Alley Coffee Bar in New Orleans. Now, René is not only a cafe owner, but she's also a podcaster and an author as well. And really great conversation in this episode where we are really focusing on the fact that they are a mission-driven business. And now you know how important mission, vision and values are to me, and certainly the values element of that, because that is the foundation of everything. That's the starting point for you and your business, your North Star. So in this episode, we're going to get an idea of why community is so important to René and the people that surround her and why they make a big difference to her business. We're also going to touch on what exactly it means to be mission-driven as a business. And we also get into how you can develop and live your mission through your business. This is another really valuable episode, so we're going to jump straight into it. But before we do, we're going to say a quick thank you to our sponsors. Anyone who has tried to create a paper-based systems document for their cafe or coffee shop knows the pain of trying to get everything in order and keep it updated and share it with the team all at once. Trainual sorts this problem out with its really easy to use interface, online-based construction of your documents, and it's really easy to share with your team. Head over to thecafehustle.com/trainual for 10% off your first 12 months and a 7-day free trial. So, René, thank you very much for joining me on the Cafe Hustle. How are you?
Yeah, great. Thank you so much. Yeah, I'm excited to be here.
Yeah, and we're going to be talking today about your business and particularly the fact that you're mission-driven, and listeners to the podcast will know how highly I put mission and vision and values. They're probably sick of me talking about it. I talk about it that much, you know, because it, as we'll probably get into it, it goes into every single part of what we do as a business. But starting off, I want to know about your personal mission and your purpose. What motivates you?
Yeah, I mean, I think that I came to my cafe as an organizer around environmental issues, and that's just kind of always been part of my life, and like what I, even in college and high school and stuff like that. So I spent a lot of time, and I don't think there's a difference between my mission and what I want to do and the impact I want to have and my shop. I think they're the same, you know, and I've spent a lot of time thinking about that. And I've come up with just three words that kind of describe what I end up doing and plan to do. And it's just nourish, empower, and serve. You know, those are the three things that are the most important, the three concepts that seem to be the most important to me that keep showing up over and over again in my careers and in the shop.
And touching on what you've said there, and that was about the fact that there's no difference between your own personal values and those of the business. And it's something that when I chat to people, it's trying to get across to them, especially if they're trying to remove themselves from the operational side of the business. Yeah. It's about leaving some of your, and I'm going to inverted commas, your DNA in the shop in terms of what you believe, and then, you know, getting your staff on board with those values as well, and living those values when they're interacting with your customers.
Yeah, I think that that's true. You know, I think any small business like mine, you know, I'm lucky to enough, we've been open 10 years now. This is our 10th year. And I'm lucky enough to have been able to step away from the shop. And I have a general manager, and all of my staff have been there over a year now. The newest people are just past a year. And the other person that's still there has been 4 years. And before that, it was the same, you know, many years. And there isn't a difference. Like, you know, like if you work in your shop and you're at your counter every day, 7 days a week, which I have done, you know, it just is. It's you. The business is you. And that was important to me. One, because I don't think I know how to do it any differently. Like, I don't have the skills to be so separate from my business, I think. And when I look at a shop, like, you know, you think of a coffee shop, and I think one of the reasons I moved from nonprofit to coffee shop, one, I really missed waiting tables. I love waiting tables. It's one of the best things I love doing all the time. I love being able to like hand something to someone that they're really excited about, right? But also, coffee shops are just hubs of community organizing. It's where people come in and you hear and about their lives, but then you see them have kids, you see them get married, you see them, their kids grow up and start doing other stuff. And so there just isn't a distinction for me. And also, as a really small business like that, you can't survive if your customers and your staff are not happy and healthy and economically stable. Like, you don't survive as a small business if everyone around you who's coming in isn't thriving as well, you know? And so we definitely had some turnover as I was working through that, as I was growing, as I was learning how to have this business. But I tell you, probably about 5 years ago, that turnover just stopped, and we've just pretty much had the same staff the whole time, you know?
Yeah, I think like a lot of things that like certainly the staff retention and even in my shop for the 3 years that we had that location, I think there was only two members of staff that moved on. One moved on to another hospitality job, which is fine and to be expected. And then another one went off to a totally different industry. But the rest of the staff were all, they're happy there, they stayed there. And I always put that down to the fact that we had that mission, they knew that mission, and they were all aligned with that pivot. Do you think that's where your retention has come from?
For sure. I mean, I also, you know, the last few years have been pretty critical as well. And, you know, we didn't lose any staff members during COVID. No one left the shop, you know, I was like, hey, you know, if you need to go on, you need to do something else. And they're like, no, I don't want to go any, like, no, we want to work here. They're like, I include them in all the decision-making, you know, like you can't have a shop of five people and some of those people not be included in making the decisions, you know? And so I think that has been critical is that, and they, you know, expressed that to me when we did have to close for a while or drastically changed how the shop worked, you know, at the beginning of the pandemic. And because New Orleans was one of the first cities in the United States to be hit really high by COVID, and we had a really high rate of deaths at the beginning of the pandemic. So it was like New York, LA, and New Orleans. And so we were all included in that. And I think like that I include them, they also, everyone has skills that they bring to the shop that are very unique that make the shop theirs too, you know, because they run their shifts on their own and they get to decide. And I think just having, like you have to have buy-in from people. I know that was important to me when I worked at diners, you know, I waited tables for years and years and my managers would let me run a whole shift alone. You know, I worked graveyard for years in DC and it was super fun. But they would let me run the shift alone. They're like, yeah, you got it. I'm going to go sit. I'm tired. I'm going to go sit in the office. You run it. I was like, okay, great. But I stayed there for like 7 years, you know, a really long time. I think it's just important that if you have these small shops that you really include everyone that it's not your shop. It's everyone's shop. You know, you just happen to be like laying down the path in front of us, you know, as you're going forward. So,
yeah, I think it comes down fundamentally to, like you say, once they're aligned to your values and then you start to create that trust with the team and then you empower them a little bit more with responsibility. Yeah. And it gets to the point then, like you say, that you can let them run with it. They're responsible. They think more like an owner in terms of what the right decision is. But from an owner's point of view, that is, and you've proved it, is the route to stepping away from it and starting to run your business rather than working in it. And which is, it's not productive for yourself, but also it doesn't help your team members being able to cope without you.
Well, I was just going to say that one thing that I do every year, we do a review at the end of the year or the beginning, either December or January with each staff member. And then we decide something that they want to pick up or learn in throughout the next year. And so I kind of create a project for them. So one person does all of our inventory. They were, you know, they're like, well, I've never done this part, this kind of project management before. So now they run our inventory system, and different things like that. Another person wanted to run, to figure out how to write a manual, you know? And so we ended up writing a manual. That person took that over for the year and kind of redesigned our whole recipe system and everything. And so that was part, I really look at them as, right, your first few hospitality jobs are kind of like where you get skills for everything else. And so I don't take that for granted, that this is a really big opportunity to help some a young person learn something that's going to stay with them for a long time.
Yeah. So talk us through your journey then, through what you did before taking over at, or owning Church Alley. What was your journey into owning the business?
Yeah, so I definitely waited to, I was in restaurants, diners, fine dining in New York, all different kinds of stuff, from 15 on. And I really loved it. Even when I worked for nonprofits, I worked for environmental nonprofits. I still waited tables in the evening and on the weekends. And one, because I was living in DC and it's very expensive and I had to, but I also just loved, that's the work that I loved. I love, you know, it was a good reminder of going from an office talking about big environmental issues and being in front of people every day talking about kind of the things that matter to them. And then I came home. So I was living in Amsterdam and then I moved to Oakland. I was kind of commuting back and forth between Amsterdam and San Francisco. And the BP oil disaster happened outside of New Orleans in the Gulf of Mexico. And so I'm from a small town on the Gulf. And I was like, well, I have to go home. You know, like this is kind of the time. I'm literally working on these issues in other places. Like, why am I doing this? So I came home and I started working for a group called the Waterkeeper Alliance. And I worked with fishing communities during the spill and the after, and then the year after the spill, once they were able to plug the well. And we did citizen science and I wrote reports about what was happening to the fishermen in their area and their boats falling apart because of the dispersants and the shrimpers and the oyster beds and stuff like that. The things that really matter to us here on the Gulf Coast or in, you know, in any oceanside community is very similar, you know. And then I like burnt out and I was like, I got to go back to waiting tables. And I actually would bring coffee every morning to the dog park. And I just was trying different recipes and different beans and stuff like that. And then one of the guys was like, I have an empty building. Why don't you just open a little pop-up on the weekends in this building? I was like, okay, that's literally how it started. Like there was no plan in any way. It was just opportunity. Wherever the easiest, you know, flow was, I was like, okay, let me try that. And then it went from 2 days a week to now 10 years later, 7 days a week, you know, so, and a full menu. Now we're more cafe than just, you know, just coffee and pastries. So yeah, it was an interesting journey.
But a lot of journeys into hospitality are like this. They're not planned. Like certainly mine wasn't planned. I know me and my partner, Steph, we'd always liked to have had a coffee shop or a cafe. But it was only when the opportunity presented itself, it was like, oh, yeah, let's do it. And it's very similar to you in a way. You sort of just fell into it, started off, and then here you are, like you say, 10 years later with a really successful business. And you're away from the day-to-day operation, which is the goal of the majority of owners as well. So Congratulations, especially when you consider the usual life of a cafe business and restaurants, which are they say around 5 years, I think. It shows that your approach is working. So clearly to me, community is massive to what you do and you're passionate about. So what is it about coffee shops and cafes that lend themselves so easily to building communities?
Yeah, I mean, I think there's a few things. Like one, coffee shops, just historically have been a gathering space. It's either a, you know, a bar or a coffee shop is kind of been the gathering space throughout time. That's just like how it even existed. You know, people leaving their homes and going towards a place, and coffee was one of those, the drinks that happened. And New Orleans is one of the first places where a coffee shop in its form that we understand existed in the United States, in the French Market next to the port. And so, it was interesting because I am a community organizer by trade. I've worked all over the world too in doing different stuff. And we always meet, whether it was like, I mean, I've done work in Burma, you know, I was very big in the Burmese democracy movement in college. We poured little cups of coffee in a refugee camp and talked to all these people, you know, like the organizing always happens around food or drink in this shared space. And I would, you know, when I left nonprofits, I was like, I just want to do the same work, but I want to do it in a different, from a different perspective. And I was like, well, what would happen if I try to do it from a small business perspective? This, you know, and and that's just been kind of my experiment. And of course you have to stay in business. And so, but for me, you know, back to mission, it's like, it's always people over profits. Like we live in these tiny little communities that are very dependent. You know, when you live, as a lot of communities are learning, when you live in a community that is being hit by climate change impacts, we're, you know, more severely over time, like we're all kind of seeing, you need one another right after a disaster. You need, you know, who is going to cook, you know, all the, what we saw after Hurricane Ida a few months ago, we're actually coming up on a year now, is that we were, most of Louisiana was out of power. Most of South Louisiana was out of power for 2 weeks. Some a lot longer, but New Orleans was about 2 weeks. And that means, I mean, we have like 400 restaurants. We have 350,000 people and we have 400 restaurants, you know, like that's a lot of food. And so people were just grilling immediately because we have to, you know, and that was crucial for keeping people safe in the aftermath and of a hurricane. And that's just what these little food cafe, bars, restaurants, coffee shops are. We're like little lifelines when it hits the fan, you know?
And what about after the, obviously the pandemic has been really difficult for hospitality businesses. Did you find that the community were then paying that back afterwards?
Yeah. I mean, it was wild. We didn't know what to do. It was really scary at the time. Our shop is very small and it's, the ceilings are very low as well. And it's kind of like a little basement, almost like a little, you know, so there's only, you know, two ways out, but there's not a lot of, on one wall, there's no windows or anything like that. So that was, you know, troubling for us. And so when we closed, we did grocery delivery and we basically just bulked up all of the products that we have. And so now, and we still sell most of the products that we came up with in the beginning of the pandemic. And I delivered groceries and then I partnered with small businesses all over New Orleans. And so I was basically a delivery driver for all of these businesses and our customers could purchase all of our items. And then I packed them up and delivered them. And then I got to see my customers too, you know, like it wasn't, that part was really great as well. Like my staff wanted to make all of the food that they knew how to make and do all this in a new way. And then we got to see our customers at their homes and see how they were doing. And that was really, I'm sure I've heard this from hospitality staff all over, is that, yeah, it was really difficult, but we were the ones that actually got to see everyone. You know, we got to interact with people more than most people did and see our customers. And so that was really impactful. And I just couldn't believe it. They were just like buying like a dozen, you know, a roll of cookie dough from us because, you know, or whatever, or a dozen bagels, or we like have a black bean hummus. So we like made a big batch of it and sold it in pints, you know, and it was just shocking that all these people just continued to purchase from us. And, you know, it took me like 7 hours to drive around the city and deliver these things twice a week. And they were like, yeah, I'm home. Just whenever you want to come by. Cause you know, I had no idea when I would get there. And they were all so patient and loving. And it was just like a really great experience. I don't know, just how I was just shocked. I was like really shocked, like how much people showed up for us, for a small business like us, you know?
And it's really rewarding when you get to the point where you realize how much of a community you have around your business like that. And you see these things where people will, without really thinking, will just continue to support. And I know a lot of stories where people were very similar. Their communities just supported them as in any way they could. And again, there's people out there who were struggling for income themselves and they were still doing that. And that just shows the power of getting that community interaction and building those connections and getting it right.
Yeah, I know. And I think that we had always done mutual aid. I've always done, you know, that we, our area floods, South Louisiana floods a lot. And so we've always done different types of mutual aid projects throughout the 10 years. And we kept doing it through the pandemic as well. So we also just delivered food to, I don't know if y'all had the same thing, these community fridges popped up all over the town. And so it's just free, a free pantry for whoever needs it. And so we constantly are delivering to them and our customers are bringing items, you know, to that. And I think it just like, we're like that here anyway, like that is kind of like the South Louisiana style. It's really hard to live here. So you kind of need all those connections. But, and then also in the last 2 years, like, you know, we thought those first few weeks of the pandemic were difficult and now we're, you know, monkeypox is, you know, in town now, like what the hell is happening 3 years later. And those, that infrastructure from the very beginning of the pandemic still exists, you know, it didn't go away. It's still here in connecting people, all around. So it's been an interesting change also to watch like this reorganization of what capitalism looks like in towns that are hit hard by something, you know, out of their control.
Now, when Caroline Bell from Cafe Grumpy, she basically referred me to you as to be a great guest.
Yeah.
And one of the first things that I noticed was the fact that you were a mission-driven company. And it just like that sparked something that I was just like, I've got to get Renee onto the podcast. So tell me a bit about what that looks like on a day-to-day basis in your coffee shop.
Sure. I mean, so it definitely drives how we interact with customers, right? Like just how, so our, kind of our mission is like, I've boiled it down to like three concepts: nourish, empower, and serve. So it's our menu is healthy. Though it's, we like to say that we sneak you vegetables, we give you healthy things and you may not notice that that's what's happening. and how we talk to people, you know, it's interesting because if you've been in service long enough, you know that customers not always right, is rarely right. And you kind of have to put it on the line sometimes, you know, that your employees are your priority. And I always say that, and I've always felt that my customer's not my priority. My staff is my priority. And then they will make the customers feel welcomed and loved and cared for. And that you can tell the difference when owners are not like that, you know? And so, but that also makes it a safe place for every customer to be in. Because you have situations where it's, something goes horribly wrong, you know, and you have to kick someone out. And then all of the customers are kind of in your support as well. Especially if you take care of your employees. And then empower, you know, is like, we're here to do good. You know, we're here to treat our employees right. We're here to treat our neighbors right. And to help others do that. So once a month we collect tampons and pads and we donate them to the community fridges. the Louisiana just eliminated the tax on menstruation products, which is great. But we're still delivering them on a regular basis to different places. So customers can always donate stuff to us and we'll just drive it, you know, wherever. And serve, you know, like one, it's wonderful to be able to serve someone. Like that's a really good feeling. It feels good to hand something to a customer that they're excited about. Like that, it, that transaction is beautiful. But it doesn't stop at just handing over a cup of coffee or a bagel and cream cheese. It you know, it's more than that. We get involved in, you know, I am very vocal about how my politics and how I feel about things and the way the community in New Orleans should work. And I don't shy away from that. And we've had some tough conversations with customers, but those tough conversations are, that's the, you know, that's where the rubber hits the road in community, right? It's easy if we all got along and everything is fine and we felt similar, but it's like, that's just not true. And it's so surface. Those tough conversations are part of what makes a bar fun to work in and to be in, a coffee shop or a cafe. You have hard conversations with people you don't necessarily agree with in these spaces because they're safe and they're comfortable and they're respectful of one another. And we've had that, especially in 2020 when we, after the George Floyd murder, you know, New Orleans was a city that protests loudly and colorfully. And we all did this. I walked in the streets. I saw my employees out there. I saw our customers out there and we had tough conversation. New Orleans, I don't know if you know this, is the most imprisoned city in the world, the highest rate of the population in jail and have been in jail. And so in the United States and globally as well. And so that incarceration issue is a really big thing. It impacts every single family here. And so we've had when that, you know, not defund the police, that was a, you know, conversations that we really had here. Because it does impact all of us regularly, you know, and I'm like, I'm a white middle-aged privileged woman from the South. Like I'm not going to get targeted like some of my customers are, but we had to have some of those conversations too.
Yeah. And it's great to see when like, I know a lot of people talk certainly from a marketing point of view to stay away from politics, but I think for us, certainly in the coffee shop industry, we are so tied to the communities that we operate in that we can't always avoid it. It's part and parcel of the fabric of what makes our shops unique and our communities unique. Yeah. And to skirt around the issue, it almost detracts away from those values that we put so heavily on community.
Yeah. I mean, it's really true. I mean, even from the products that we sell, the you know, coffee all the way down the line throughout the supply chain, the same issues are happening. And also like we're a place of conversation. Like that is the historical context of coffee shops, is the conversation that happens. You know, like, yes, I want to sell delicious drinks. Yes, I want my menu to be wonderful and everyone be excited about it. But I mean, think about it. Some of the best places you've been to have been places that don't have very good coffee or very good food or whatever, but they're super fun and it's colorful and you want to be in there too. So, you know, the product is only a piece of the story of a great space. It's not everything, you know, and it was interesting. Like we have, you know, New Orleans is super liberal. Louisiana is very conservative, but we have a variety within the city as well. So, and during, you know, during the beginning of the pandemic, we had to have those conversations about vaccines and about masks and about all of that stuff. And we had them with customers and with employees that we all kind of disagreed and didn't know what it was and, you know, what our own thoughts were and how they would evolve over time. But that's okay. Like you can't shy away because you also, if you shy away from those things that are happening in your community, it looks very shallow. Like, you know, you don't look very connected, or you feel very disconnected from your perceived. I don't know. When I see something that's a group or a restaurant or a big name here in town, I was like, there's no way they're not dealing with this issue internally. They have to be. Like, so why not just say something about it, you know?
So that's it for part one of my chat with Renee. But I want to really focus on some of the things that Renee emphasizes in that part of our episode. And that is particularly how your business values should reflect your values. And I know in our episode that we did last week on Friday, I spoke through value-based hiring, and that all came from building your business values based on your own values. So that's the first point, really, that anything that comes into your business needs to really reflect what you do or you believe in as an individual, because that's really important. The second point is that you should involve your people in your decision making, especially if you're a small business. And it's something that I emphasize when I coach people through leadership issues, is that their people need to feel involved and be part of the business. And certainly when you're getting to a point where you're empowering your people to run the business, they need to also understand some of the decision and the decision-making process before they can truly manage your business and allow you to step back. So it's a really important part of developing them as individuals, but also they feel part of the business, part of what you're working towards. So that's another really good point. And again, linked to that is people over profit. And we've spoken about this so many times on the podcast, how much of a benefit comes from when you focus on your people. So invest in them, both your time, and give them more of your time, and understand what it takes for them to work in the way that they do. But also financially invest in them, train them up, develop them to maybe go on to another business, but you're focusing on that person and their needs and what they are looking for in a role, and you're more likely then to keep hold of them for longer. And really put your leadership ahead of everything else, and your people will start to look after you and the business. They will appreciate the true leadership that comes from applying some of the things that we talk about on the podcast. So this is just a few of the things that I take from this episode that we should be looking at and maybe start to apply in your business. So anyway, don't miss out on part two of this episode, which is coming on Wednesday. So make sure you subscribe or follow us if you haven't done so yet, wherever you get your podcasts. And again, don't forget to leave us a review, whether it's about this episode specifically or the podcast as a whole, because I always want to be developing this in terms of what we deliver to you as our audience and our community, really, because that is what it is. And actually, on that point, we've got some really big news coming in the next week or so regarding our community space. So anyway, thanks again for joining me, and I look forward to welcoming you back to the Cafe Hustle for the next episode.